got a jar. This is exciting.
All right, can we have some of the leaders come on up, please?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this man of God. Thank you, Father, for the story of his journey. It's been inspiring. And the leadership that you've placed upon him. I pray, Father, right now that you just anoint his words, especially let him feel your presence as he releases what you have given him. And I ask, Lord God, that we would be receptive and open-hearted to the word that you bring today. We thank you for his life, for his family, for his ministry, and we ask your blessing on it right now in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Thank you. Don't everybody leave just yet. They went and asked everybody, but everyone was either sick or busy, and I was the runner-up of the runner-up. I'm just kidding. I did, I actually. Doug came up to me a couple weeks ago and was just asking me how I was doing, and I said I really had something I wanted to share, so he's like, well, how about in 2 weeks? No, actually, he said, tell me when you're ready, and I called him up and I said, hey, I think I'm going to be ready soon, so I want to give this while it's still fresh in my heart. It's funny how it's kind of an extension from Doug's word last week. Doug was talking about forgiveness and mentioned Peter's encounter with Jesus after his denial, and the forgiveness that Jesus extended to him. And he also mentioned that verse in Daniel 11:35, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white. A lot of that kind of applies to this testimony, I guess, of where I'm at right now. Sorry, I'm still learning to be a speaker. I don't know if I'm really teaching myself anything, but I'm going to be doing a lot of this, so I apologize. I look at other speakers, and when they can talk for like an hour and come up with amazing revelation and stuff just and fluidly, I think I'd forget like a majority of what I was wanting to say. And then later on I go back and I'm like, oh, I forgot to say that. So I don't want to forget. And I have a way that I want to say it. So there are some sayings in church that are biblical, but a lot of times are said without application or practicality. And one is, maybe not for you. Maybe a lot of you are way ahead of this, but hopefully there's one that gets something from just die to yourself is the phrase. I've had a hard time with that. So for me, it's like, okay, you know, God, I need to die. I need to die to my flesh. Kill me. But I don't want to die. I just want to be dead to the flesh. Not dead. You know what I mean? That's me, right? He knows what I'm talking about, but I'm like, well, not dead. The other one is just stop trying. And, okay, well, I'm going to try really hard now to stop trying. So... Romans was a hard book for me to read in my cycle of sin throughout my life. And I previously read Romans through the eyes of a sinner, through the eyes of shame. It's difficult to read Romans very often if you're reading from that and you're not reading from the revelation of what Paul's saying. So I'm going to kind of show you how I took in Romans. I'm going to get to Romans 7, so if you guys want to turn there, 7:14-25, I'm going to get there, and then I'm going to come back to it again later, so that's kind of a key, 7:14-25. So in Romans 1, Paul mentions how he's not ashamed of the gospel. And I'd read that and I'd go, okay, well, I talked to this guy about God and I wasn't ashamed there, but I didn't start the conversation. I didn't instigate it. So maybe I'm ashamed of the gospel. I would search myself, right? Going all through Romans 1, 28 to 32 is, and even as they did not like to obtain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do the things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. I mean, I'm reading this going, I'm kind of hearing a lot about myself here. And I'm like, I'm going to try not to say like more than I already have. you guys starting to get the hint. Chapter 2, you're inexcusable, you who judge. For whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. Later in chapter 2, speaks of hypocrisy. You who preach not to steal, do you steal? In chapter 3, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. It goes on to say, their throat is an open tomb. mine definitely was an open tomb. So I'm going to read Romans 7, 14 to 25. I'm going to read it the way that I used to read it. You know what I'm trying to say. For we know this. This is a New King James Version, and I'm not for any version. I think you need to read them, a lot of different versions to kind of catch some revelation. Sometimes you need to just go back to the actual word as it was written. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Even then, I do what I will not to do. I agree with the law that it is good. But now, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And for emphasis, I'm leaving out verse 25 because that's how I read it. When I was in sin, I would read Romans like it was just talking about everything that I did. And I would actually just want to stop reading. But I was reading it from the flesh. I wasn't reading it from the revelation that Paul was writing it from. So Paul, thank God, is representing the flesh, the infection of sin. And the only way he could write such deep wisdom that is that he was born again and had practiced living in that and abiding in the Spirit. His mind was renewed. Paul was not a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness, and he was writing from there. He even says in Romans 6:19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. I'm even more dense than the Romans. Paul is saying there's nothing good in us and we need a Savior. If we read on to verse 25 without condemnation, it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the redemption. Reading Romans through the eyes of condemnation, I was worthless. I couldn't get past the captivity of sin because I was in sin, trapped or returning the same cycles over and over. I've thought so many times about 2 Peter 2:21, and he says, for it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And then he mentions Proverbs 26:11, like a dog returning to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. And was me. But you know, just something I thought of last night, to kind of add to this or strike what I just read to you. Jesus was talking about, I can't remember, the Bible says. Remember when he's talking about the vineyard and we're grafted in as Gentiles, but he also says to them that the Israelites can be grafted back in. I mean, he wants us to come back. And the story of the prodigal son, anyway. Anyway, I felt a lot of condemnation just personally because I couldn't get free of sin. So then I heard, I'm not going too quick. I don't think I am. Then I heard a revelation that changed everything. And if you didn't deal with what I dealt with, I think this is where everyone can pay attention. And it's 1 Peter 1:23. And I read it in the New King James Version. And again, I'm not for his translation. It just helped me in this revelation. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. The word corruptible is crucial for me. I previously read it in the NIV, and the NIV says perishable. And I took the word, the definition of perishable to just mean, yeah, I won't die. Passion Translation actually reads the seed that can never be destroyed. So again, it kind of says the same thing. But the word is corruptible or perishable. Thartos is what it's called in the Greek. But I went back to the Greek and I wanted to read the word and the definition of the word. And perishable is something mishandled perishes. If we take milk out of the fridge and we leave it out on the counter, it spoils because we mishandled it. That's perishing. Perishable, something mishandled. So what is the mishandling in this situation? Sin. Sin leads to death. So, and he says in 1 Peter that the seed is incorruptible, or in the NIV, imperishable. And what is this incorruptible seed? It's the Spirit of God. Remember when Nicodemus came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, we know you come from God because no one can perform these signs unless he's of God, from God, or unless God is with him. Jesus said to Nicodemus, John 3:5, it says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. And that verse was quickened to me when I was reading about this and trying to come up with this message. And I always took that to mean, okay, we need to be baptized in water and then baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then I did some more digging and a little bit more reading. Jesus knew that Ezekiel was a teacher of Israel, and they would quote things to each other to bring into remembrance prophecies that were spoken. And in Ezekiel, I think, and some other people also think, that Ezekiel, he was quoting Ezekiel 36:25-27, and Ezekiel as a prophecy for the new covenant for Israel. And it says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Have you got it yet? I mean, I'm just talking to myself. You're all a step ahead of me, probably. So incorruptible, what is in us apart from Jesus? A corruptible seed, sin, which leads to death. We are born again. God puts a spirit in us. Our spirit is renewed, kind of like our body and soul will be when we get to heaven, but the spirit is new now. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being born again means we are born of incorruptible seed from the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit. Not only are we not going to die, but we are born of the Spirit that can't sin. That to me was just, and again, maybe you're all ahead of me already, but for me it was like this eye-opening, there's part of me that can't sin. And all I got to do is connect with that. Duh. Yeah. So you're three parts, spirit, soul, and body. When you're born again, your spirit is incorruptible, meaning one third of you cannot die, but also just as amazing, one third of you cannot sin. One third of you is Holy Spirit, incorruptible, sinless, pure, holy. The same spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. The only thing is our souls haven't quite caught up yet. So how do we help our souls catch up? I really believe that our soul's desire is to not sin. See, you guys are way ahead of me. We were made in the image of God, spirit, soul, and body. All of that is one and not separate. In fact, I was thinking about this again last night. I actually changed a lot last night. I was like, oh, I was so sure about it throughout the week, and then last night the enemy was like, oh, it's not ready, and you're going to suck. I was like, oh. I was thinking about it. Oh, yeah. When we're born, I mean, there's some people believe that we were born with the seed of Adam's sin, right? Like, as soon as we're born, we are this sinless or this full of sin, horrible, nasty little thing. So we must, and that's kind of what started the whole baptizing infants. It's not true. The only seed that Adam shared with us was the breath of God. And we were born and made in the image of God. We're born into a world with sin, and it's a virus here that nobody's immune to. And we're all going to catch it. But we were born in the image of God. So I want to reread Romans 7, 14 to 25, and I'm going to actually emphasize specific things. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. And carnal, I was just looking up. Andrew Womack talks about carnal. And carnal is actually it's not sin. Carnal is just, it's our senses, you know, taste, smell. But if we go on that specifically, we're in the flesh. So, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. He's describing the war between the soul, made in the image of God, and sin. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I delight in the law of God. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I want to do good, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There's a warring in our members against the law of our minds. We want to do good. I mean, that's why we're here. And it's bringing us into the captivity of the law of sin, which is in our members, a wretched man that I am. Thank you, God, that Jesus the victorious has come and has sacrificed himself and poured his spirit out for all mankind. So then Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh on account of sin, the infection of this world, mind you, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For this who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Ah, so much peace. So that kind of, that's maybe the third comment too that I've heard from people, well, you just need to walk in the Spirit. That was another hard one for me. Okay, God, I'm walking in the Spirit. And then you go to work and you're like, stupid thing, or, you know, you're mad at something. 2 seconds after, okay, God, I'm walking in the Spirit now. But, so this is repentance, right? It's not, God, I repent, forgive me, I just sinned again. It's not that. He's already forgiven you for everything that you've done and going to do. Repentance is turning. Turning from the way of living from the flesh into the ways of Jesus. Well, how do we do that? This revelation that he is in me and he is incorruptible is what got me. I have the same Spirit in me that rose Christ from the dead, that rose Lazarus from the grave, that healed the sick, that cast out devils. He's right here with his arms wide open. I don't have to go far. I don't have to pray him in. He's saying, come to me and I will give you rest. Once we realize this revelation, we can rest. Come to me, all who are weary, and I will give you rest. I was weary. I was carrying a heavy weight. I couldn't fix me. Finally, I realized all I had to do was rest. Then once we have had this revelation that he is in us and he has been with us the entire time, he hasn't left out of disgust of our sins. He's not a million miles away in a distant, far-off heaven. He is right here waiting for us to depend on him and give him everything. We can't do it alone. The Passion Translations for Romans 12:1 says to 2 says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be a sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Keep your eyes on him, okay? How do we do that? We have to learn to connect with him throughout the day. God, I commit this time to you. We must align our soul with our born-again spirit. We have been training our brains to connect with our phones. I mean, how many of you, like, your phone's close to you and you're like, oh, how are you doing? You know, you're just, it's right, I can almost feel it. It's right there. Where's my phone? Social media, approval of men, entertainment. What are we doing with our time? With our feelings, with the things of the flesh? We need to renew our minds. We need to retrain our brain. It's my saying. It's probably already been said. Andrew Womack says, as we renew our minds and believe God's word, our soul will agree with what he has already transpired in our spirit. We have to be immersed in his word because his word is a mirror. And we need to know who we are. We need our souls to catch up with the spirit that is in us. The spirit's waiting. If you don't have the desire to be in his word, tell him. He's right there, and he already knows it. Ask him, and he will give you the desire. Your focus must be on him. Proverbs 4:27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. How? By not turning to the right or the left. Keep your focus. I remember being in sin and at the same time worshiping God. I remember like, I can't. Maybe I need a different song. This isn't right, you know. God has always been there. Since I've been born again and, you know, leaving God, coming back, I'm on fire again, and then chasing things of the world and over and over. He hasn't left. He's been there the entire time, just kind of sitting there, waiting for me to catch the revelation. He's going to get it. I know he's going to get it. He wants nothing more than for me to connect with him and be done with the cycle and be dead to sin. I know now that he has always been there, right there, not a million miles away. Hasn't left me because of sin. Hasn't hid his head in shame. Hasn't looked away. He's right there. He's been there the whole time. I was thinking about this home group, sorry. And it's like it's his spirit. It's in me. It's worshiping God. Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's kind of cool. He worships himself through me. But he's teaching us what this is the good way to go. This is, trust me, this is amazing. Try this. So I've dealt a lot with anger in my life. And here's how it happened for me. And I've said this to other people and they can't. Oh, yeah. And they've added to some of the things that I'm saying here. I get angry at someone for something stupid yet again. And in that anger, I begin to work myself up into a frenzy, right? Now I need to justify my anger. So I'm going to tell you 100 times basically the same thing that I've already, that the stupid thing that I'm mad at you for. Not 100 times, but it's bad, right? It's not good. The anger grows. And then what did I say here? You ever experience it grow uncontrollably like that, or is it just me? and then I must justify it, blah, blah, blah. And then because I did it again, now I'm like in full-on anger mode, and I'm like, oh, crud. I did it again. Now I'm mad because I'm mad. And it's even worse. Here's the answer to all of this, and I've been doing this for a little while. We got to renew our minds. How do we retrain our brain? It takes trying, but in a different way than trying to work on fixing yourself. You have to retrain your brain to connect. You can't fix you. I can't fix me. It's repentance. We've been doing it this way, and now we have to change direction. The way I'm doing this is with a simple phrase. God, I commit this time to you. I start to get angry for something stupid. Now I'm like, God, I commit this time to you. And things change. I have a bad thought. I have, you know, previous desires. I used to like to drink a lot. I smoked cigarettes. Those things that come up every once in a while still. And it wasn't that long ago that I was free of drinking alcohol every day. But those thoughts come up. And then I just go, God, I commit this time to you. I commit this thought to you. Or I'd work myself up in anger, and then I'd go in the house. So I like to do this. I like to work outside, and then I'm outside and I'm arguing with somebody in my life, and we're having this big argument, and I'm saying all the things that I wanted to say originally. I'm like, I'm getting them back. I'm winning. And then I leave there and I go inside the house, and now I'm ticked off for nothing. Like, I'm mad because I had an imaginary argument. And then I try to connect with my wife, and she doesn't know why I'm mad. Well, I just beat up our friend out there. Didn't you see that? So now it's like this thing that I've been practicing in my brain, and I consistently have done it. So now I'm outside and I'm starting to think of these things in my life, and I'm going, God, I commit that thought to you. God, I commit this thought to you. I commit this thought process. I commit this time. And things change. So now I start worshiping God. Now I start thinking about God. Now I start thinking of the things that I read earlier in the day from his word. I just said all of that. You know what Todd White says? You guys know Todd White? He says, God's canceling my subscription to issues.
That's right.
I had a lot of issues with people that didn't even know I had issues with, or they didn't know I had issues with them. I thought, spilling my guts out while I'm working was helpful for me, but I was not helpful. Canceled my subscription to issues. So in this process, the enemy said to me one day, do you think God really wants to hear this again? Do you think he really wants to know that you're doing this thing again? Or that you have thought about doing this again? Yes, he does. You know how I know? He put his spirit in me. He's right here. He wants every moment of every day. No, God's too busy for that. He's too busy. Don't bother him with something so trivial. No. He's right here. He's in you. He's in me. He's right here. And he's right here all the time. He's not here for like a fleeting moment and then somewhere else. He's here all the time, and he wants to be with me in every moment of every day. He wants to experience what I experience. He wants to go through everything with me. Yes, he does. So as we begin to connect with his spirit in us, our desires change. We begin to desire to know him more. We begin to realize how much he really loves us. As we renew our minds and connect with him regularly, we become more and more like him. Our souls begin to catch up and agree with what has already transpired in our spirit, as Andrew Womack said. Because John 1:16 in the New King James says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. Amen. Of his fullness we have all received. Not a little bit. Not. We have his fullness. And we need to grow up in that. We need to tell our souls to catch up. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. In this world. Not when we get to heaven. In this world. We can be free of our garbage. I'm currently free of all of my garbage through a simple phrase, got to commit this time to you. Of course, I'm not sinless, but my mind is renewing. That's my revelation, and I hope that it inspired somebody else. I don't know if anybody in here hasn't experienced being born again and having that Spirit of God in them and wants to. I mean, look around at everybody here. Everybody here is filled with the presence of God. We all love it. We don't regret it. So if you want that, any of us will pray for you. I mean, I will, but I know anybody next to you would pray for you as well. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And he wants to put his Spirit in you. Remember the Ezekiel 36? He wants to clean you of all your filthiness, of the infection of sin. And he wants to put his Spirit in you. Anyway, love you guys. Amen.
Newt, I know that you said more than once that we're probably ahead of you on things, but we all need reminders, even if wherever we are in our life, in our walk with Christ, we all need reminders, and that was a great reminder, so thank you.
Good.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this word from Newt's heart, God. I just thank you for speaking through him, Lord. And I just pray that as we leave this place and we go on with our week, Lord, that we bring you with us into all of our situations, God, that we remember the things that Newt just spoke, Lord, some of the tools that he uses, and that, Lord, that we begin to walk in that, to bring you into everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have a great week, and if you could help pick up a few chairs, that'd be awesome.